Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 230-230. And our guest today bringing a dream for us to interpret and explore is Kim from Washington State in the US. Now, I have to say at this point that if you've been listening to the last couple of episodes, you may wonder why we haven't made reference to the pandemic. And it's because we often record our podcasts in groups, in batches. So this is actually the first one that we have recorded during the pandemic. We're actually recording this one 4 weeks before it goes out. So we're currently around just after the middle of April. So that just puts it in context for those of you that are wondering. As you know, if you've listened to many episodes of The Dream Show, the way that it works is that I know nothing about the dream until we hit the record button and start recording. So as you listen, you hear the dream for the first time as I hear the dream, and therefore you get to be part of the process as we interpret and unfold the dream and see how it relates to Kim's life. It's quite a long exploration we're doing this time, so I'm going to not say much more before handing you over. Obviously, we've just already recorded the conversation with Kim, and I'm adding this bit on at the beginning, which is why I know a little bit about the dream, and I think you're going to really enjoy this and get a lot out of it that you can apply to your own life, particularly in the current circumstances of the pandemic. Before we go there, if you want to check up on my own website, janeteresa.com, that's Teresa without an H, is where you go. You can listen to every episode of The Dream Show that's ever been there. You can also find out how to consult me privately. And you can also find out about my courses, which you can do in your own time. And of course, also hundreds of free blogs and resources that you can get there too. Or you can also go direct to my other website, which is my online learning platform, The Dream Academy. And the address for that is dream-academy-online.com. So you can go there to learn how to interpret your own dreams and even do courses to become a dream therapist. Or find me on Facebook or Instagram. But really on for the main point of the podcast, which is Kim and her dream. Here we go. Welcome to The Dream Show, Kim.
Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Now, you're in Washington State, so I think it's late in the evening for you at the moment?
It is.
And what kind of day have you had so far?
I've had a lovely, sunny spring day. The kind of day where you feel like life is just smiling. And anyway, it's been a really nice day.
Oh, that's absolutely
beautiful. You're going to have locked in for COVID virus, it's good to have a beautiful spring day.
it does help, doesn't it? We've got the same here. Of course, it's a lovely sunny autumn day, but it's that same thing. That no matter what else is happening and how locked down we are, the sun is shining and we still continue to dream. So I've no idea what dream you've brought, Kim, but let's hear your dream.
Okay. In this dream, the dream starts with me being aware that a group of my friends are going to be camping at the ocean. And the ocean is off to the left somewhere behind a wooded area. And I want to join them. I sense that a family that I know called the Zooks and even my ex-husband and his wife will be there, as well as lots of old friends. It is the afternoon, and I have nothing packed yet. And so I frantically try to get packed so I can go camping with all these people. It's determined that my oldest son, Peter, will be riding with me. And I even holler at him, "Are your things packed? Make sure your things are packed." I'm living in a big, spacious, very high quality house. It's modern, it has wooden features and big windows and just a feeling of spaciousness. And the first thing I start to pack is some boots. And as I'm packing the boots, I even say out loud, "This is the highest quality, best made house I've ever lived in yet." And to fetch the boots, there's a door in the floor in front of the entryway. And it's just, it's very intricate so that it swings and folds open at a couple different angles, almost like a puzzle. But I open up the door in the floor of the entryway, and there are two pairs of boots that I'm choosing from. There's an older pair that's a solid one-piece rubber boot with lead-textured soles, and it has a stripe of blue around the bottom of the sole. And the stripe is created because there's literally a layer of blue in the soles. And then there's a new pair of boots, and they have red shoelaces on the inner side of each foot, not on the top. And they are very high with wader cloth-like tops. And I think just for a little bit of time that the water, I ponder a little bit how the water will, wondering if the water will get into where the laces are. It kind of doesn't make sense to me, but because they are new, I just trust that they'll work. And when I see the two, I also start judging myself that I actually have two pairs of boots to choose from, and I feel this judgment that I have too much stuff. I end up choosing to bring the new pair because I like the idea of going deeper into the water. But almost immediately, I want to change my mind back to the old blue-soled ones that are broken in. They're easy to take on and off. But I still stick to my decision to take the new ones and move on packing. Even though I'm feeling a little panic, I try to remain calm and steady. And at some point, an old boyfriend of mine, who became known over time as Decoy Don, is there wanting to help. He's very supportive and patient, and he always adored me. And though I'm married and he's married to someone else, I think, oh, he's here to try again. I'm heading up to my room to get underwear, and I decide that I need 3 bras and 3 pair of underpants. But my drawers are wooden, and like the floor door down below, it's hinged in more than one direction. And in this case, it's kind of like a roll-top desk that I inherited from a great aunt of mine that I actually really have, in that you have to lift up a top and then reach into little cubicles to get, you know, that are made for mail to get your stuff.
Yeah.
The part that you lift up to get into those little cubicles is really a bad, uncomfortable angle. It takes a little bit of banging my hand against things to try to get in there. It actually hurts my hands, but eventually I get in there, and then I finally see that in those underwear slots that's nearly empty, and that I only have one pair of underpants. Mm. And I say out loud to Dawn, I don't have time to do laundry, and I think I will just wear these ones that I have an extra day, and even if they're dirty, and then I can wash and dry the other pair when I'm there. Okay. Then there's a sense that twice in the dream, but I can't tell you when. Sometimes the scenes kind of get mixed up when I have dreams. I don't know when I wake up, but there's a sense 2 times in the dream that there are 2 big padded yellow foo-foo-y bras that are laying around out in the open. And one is just like, I saw just out the corner of my mind, this yellow padded bra. And then the other one I know has been left outside on the edge of the property against a garden wall. And I feel, even in the middle of all this packing, determined to go and retrieve it. And it's not because I want to wear it. It's not that I ever would wear it, but it's because I don't want it to be damaged or weathered by the outdoors. I don't want the gardener to see it. Mm-hmm. When I go to retrieve it, I can't find it, but I know that it's because I really haven't looked long enough. But I stop anyway because I need to pack. While I'm packing, there's also a sense of leaving little messes all around that I will have to clean up later. I can really see how that symbolizes a lot. At one point in time, there is a big noisy machinery across the road from the house, and it's grabbing trees from the forest and ripping them up out of the ground. And they've started clearing the forest in front of my neighbor's, next door neighbor's house off to the left. And the tree has fallen across the road into their front, her front yard. And it's a real neighbor that I have had. And I think how fortunate that they are away. And I think I wanted to be away before this happens because I can tell it's going to happen next at my yard. And then I run around my big piece of property with Dawn. And as I run around it, I realize that the whole house is built on a platform of white sand, a square platform of white sand about 5 or 6 feet high. And eventually Dawn shows me a place where it's a little lower and it's easy to get up the sand bank. And when I do get up the sand bank, suddenly everything opens up like the clouds are parting, and the sky is open, and there's this huge view of a golden sunset on a white sandy beach where there's a stream running into the ocean, and scattered on the beach are white sheep. And I can tell they're like Jesus's white sheep. But I don't see Jesus, but I see the white sheep on the beach. And I find myself wondering how this happened and where were the trees? Were the trees covering the ocean view? Was it there all along? I think it is this tied in with the trees being taken out. But anyway, and then at another point in the dream that, again, I can't always remember the order, that there's a movie that is playing and being shown to the ladies I work with in the office about this guy, Don. And it's a documentary, and it's focusing on that when he was young, he had a horse-drawn cart. And then the camera in the documentary aims up and starts focusing on a big white house that's behind him and on his family. And there's this feeling that everything is so picture perfect and high quality. And at first, I keep wondering if that house that I'm watching in the documentary isn't my house. And it kind of looks like my house, but I can't really tell. And even when in the documentary they like go inside the house, I still can't tell if it is my house or not. But as the documentary rolls, everything gets gaudier and uglier, and the faces of the people become swollen and round, and I want to say gaudy, not pretty, over made up. His mother is wears a lot of makeup, and again this feeling of foo-foo comes up, foo-foo like the bride. It's all lacy and overdone. And then I think Don, in my head, I think Don should not be with me or want me. He needs a woman like his mother. And again, I realize I'm trying to pass him on or match him up with someone else, which is really what happened with that man when he was my boyfriend. And I did think at one point, perhaps it's too late to get to the ocean and the campground. We can't get there before dark, and I never do go to the ocean. The dream ends with me still at the house.
Mm.
And that's it.
Well recalled. Lots of details there. I'm really intrigued that, you know, that you finished, Kim, by saying that you never did get to the ocean, and yet towards the end...
I did have the ocean.
You did. You had that magnificent view.
Yes. It was like I was there already. I know. I thought that was kind of a fun. And I tried really hard not to analyze this dream too much.
Good.
Let her do it.
That must have been hard, wanting to sit on your hands and think of something else.
I actually did see a lot in it, but I didn't go into it too thoroughly. So anyway, yes, I noticed that. Isn't that nice? I like that.
Yes, yeah, you were there all along, but not as you originally saw it at the beginning. Well, we'll go into that. But first of all, Kim, when did you have the dream?
I had it on Easter morning, so just yesterday morning. I think that is today's Monday. Yes, I had it Sunday morning, the day before yesterday. I was like studying all my dreams to find the right one, and that one was my Easter morning dream, and it felt like the one to share.
That's beautiful. I'm glad that you did. So as we explore this, as you know, we're looking at the 1 to 2 days before that, because the dream primarily is processing the 1 to 2 days before the dream, before your conscious and unconscious experiences, and then comparing those to the past. So, for example, when Don comes up in your dream, he's obviously resonates with something. He's a symbol of resonating with something that happened in the 1 to 2 days before the dream. So at the beginning of the dream, you've got the feeling, as you say, that there was this beach thing going on that you wanted to get to at the ocean, and there's all this packing to try to get there. And at the end of the dream, there's that feeling of, oh, I never did get there. But in fact, you did see the ocean, but it was a slightly different ocean, a slightly different view from the one that you imagined at the beginning, wasn't it? Yeah.
Right. It had sheep instead of my friends.
Yes.
So, and
you did say Jesus is sheep, didn't you? Yeah.
It felt like it was like Jesus, the parting of the clouds. It was like that kind of feeling of the parting of the clouds and the sheep. And then I always think of, you know, sheep and Jesus loves the little children. You know, I wasn't raised Christian, but I loved that song as a child. So,
yes. Anyway. As the sheep as the little children, rather than us all as the sheep following Jesus or whatever. You specifically got the sheep there as a sense of little children. Yeah.
Yeah, always like the being shepherded and cared for. I know you can also think the sheep that follow, you know, that there's like two ways to look at it. But
so yours are more shepherded and looked after and guarded and cared for.
It feels like that. All little children of the world, yet red and yellow, black and white, you know, that kind of feeling is the feeling I got with it.
Absolutely beautiful. Gosh, especially at this time, because we are recording this during the earliest weeks of the pandemic, when we've got worldwide issues going on. For people listening, this is actually middle to late April that we're recording this. So there's that lovely sense there in the middle of the dream of the trees that apparently were beautiful trees and you didn't want them ripped out the ground. And yet once they were gone, there was a sense of, oh, my goodness, look at this amazing view of the ocean and the sense with the sheep of us all being cared for, some sense of if we're all little children of the world, or I, Kim, the childlike aspects of myself feeling cared for here. So there's this amazing sense of no matter how hard you were trying to get to one place in your dream, would you say you were shown something better or not as good as where you wanted to go at the beginning?
Oh, it's way better.
Way better.
It's way better. I mean, the light is like, it's like, oh, you know, like in the movies where God is shining through the clouds and you're like, oh, yeah.
That is absolutely gorgeous.
Right, and I really do go to the ocean every single summer with a big group of friends. Mm. You know, it's something that I have a ritual of doing. So anyway, but no, this is way, it's much more of a spiritual.
Absolutely. It's spring where you are at the moment, autumn where I am, but spring where you are. Is there some part of you that's thinking that annual group summer meet at the ocean may not take place because of the pandemic?
You know, it has occurred to me. And even when you say that, I feel the grief I have. I mean, like, I'm sure everybody feels the grief of how much I like hanging out with a large group of friends and I can't right now. That's not what I get to do right now. So, yeah, when you said that, I went, woo, yeah.
Yeah, so on one level, there is that sense, it will be much deeper, but on one level, that there's that sense of, which I really like in your dream, Kim, of while there's grief on the one point for the way that things may not be able to be this year, there's, mm-hmm. with that better view that you had, that better ocean at the end, that amazing right. ocean, there's a sense that even though there's yeah. things that we grieve and that may not happen at the moment, if we look hard enough, or if we allow and wait, but we'll look into the dream to see exactly what, even better things can come to us, new visions can come to us, new ways of being can come. And particularly because you've got it associated, I guess, with Jesus there, even though, as you say, you're not a practicing Christian, there's that sense of a spiritual element there. Out of all this grief and out of all this things that we feel that we can't do at the moment, there will be some elevation of our spiritual perspective that's sort of shining through your dream. So just to reiterate for people listening, our dreams are reflecting where we are individually at ourselves and our mindset. So for you, Kim, whether you're conscious of it or not, there's some level of your dreams at the moment are showing you that at some level you're preparing for, yes, but throughout all this grief and this difficulty, there is a higher spiritual view that I would like to be able to access, and that, you know, and then the following year when we can all meet again in great crowds, or you can go to your annual ocean get together, you'll be there more with a greater spiritual view, with something else, with some new essence that has grown out of all this as well. So we've got that. As you know, I never take a straight line through the dream, especially a long one like this. I like to dip in and out of it. And I particularly like a couple of things to explore. Oh, three, I guess. One is the boots. One is the bras.
Yeah.
And one is the complicated puzzle-like doors that came up twice. You know, the puzzle-like floor near the front door where you were looking for the boots. And then the other one, right. in the roll top desk where you were getting the, looking for the underwear. So right. when you think about those two kind of puzzly little doorways, the one associated with the roll top desk and the other one associated with by the front door, I think one of the things that you described them was that they were at funny angles, or there were several angles that you could approach them by. Was it? Can you go through that bit again?
It's almost like in order to open them, I couldn't just approach them at one angle. It really required me to approach it from different angles, move it this way a little bit and that way a little bit. And it wasn't like easy access. There wasn't easy access. It really required me to, the second one, actually to hurt my hands. The first one, I didn't get that feeling. I had to actually hurt my hands to open the floor one. But I did have that sense of how if you open the door, it was like a pit you could fall in. It did actually dawn on me at some level while I was at that one, at that trap door.
Yes. But you didn't fall in.
Like a trap door in a way.
Yeah, but you didn't fall in. No. Yeah. Okay, so in both of those sections there, and it's a bit like a repeating motif in the dream there. I'm trying to get something, but I can't just come at it from one angle. I've got to come at it from different angles that are puzzling.
So can I just say also that the roll top desk, the part that reminded me of the roll top desk, that roll top desk came from a great aunt in mine, where I had some pretty negative experiences in her house as a child. And so that feeling of getting hurt, you know, trying to get in there.
Yes.
I don't know. It was like really striking me that I had to really work hard to get in there to the inside of that. And then when I did get inside, I got hurt and there wasn't much in there, but anyway, that's the thing that I thought about it.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely wonderful. And I'll ask you a little bit more about that. Let's just look at the boot one first, then we'll come to that.
Okay.
No, that's perfect. Really, really great insight you've got there, Kim. So there's the idea that in life and whatever's happening for you at the moment, and also if it's related to the pandemic, is that feeling of, I can't, solve this one through the normal perspectives, my normal views, my normal angles, the ways in which I would normally do things is not going to work. And that's probably true for most of us. We've got to all having to find different angles and ways through this now, kind of challenge to do that. So you've got that in the first part of the dream, and there's a sense of, oh, I might get trapped here. There's a possible pitfall here. Mm-hmm. And you've also got the choice of a possible new pair of boots. And I want to come back to those. But it's the idea of you did achieve it in the dream. You took a slightly different view, a slightly different angle. And as a result of that, actually realized that there was a new way of doing things, a new pair of boots you could walk in. So hold that thought for the moment. And then there was a similar thing looking for your underwear. And I guess boots, we all see people walking around in their boots. We don't usually see people's underwear. And later on in the dream, you were really concerned that people would see those yellow bras outside. So there's a kind of what's inside and what I want people to see and what I don't want people to see. But the roll-top desk is really something very personal. And as you say, it was again, or as I'd suggested, it was again, to get into this, we've got to take a different angle to how, or you've got to take a different angle to how you would normally approach this. And it took you back by the symbol of the roll-top desk that, although you've got it now, it did remind you of your aunt and a situation back then. So it's saying that whatever's happening for you now reminds you of a similar situation in the past, and that was the negative feelings or things that were going on around the aunt and the roll top desk that are brought to your attention now, and the sense that if I can approach this situation, that looking back on the past, if I can unlock this or sort this out, work through the hurt, because your arm does get hurt going through, work through that, find out what's inside there, because I need to know that as part of building my view or my new view for where I'm going next. I've got to take this with me, like you wanted to take the underwear with you on this journey to the ocean. So there's a sense of there's something that I need to get from there. Although when you open it up, as you say, there wasn't enough. There were too many boots, but not enough underwear.
Right. Clean underwear.
And clean. Yeah. And once you saw there was only one pair of underwear, you also came up with straight away with a solution. I'll just wear the ones I've got. We can sort that out. But if you, bearing in mind that this is public and people that are listening, and there may be things that you don't want to say, when you look back at what kind of negative situation was it around your aunt and that roll top desk time?
I don't want to talk too much about it. It was traumatic. I had trauma. Let's just say I had a traumatic thing happen to me around my uncle.
Yes. Okay.
You can fill in the blanks. It's pretty easy. But I had a negative experience with the uncle of that owned that desk.
So if obviously that was traumatic and you've probably done a lot of work on it, but it does come up for recognition in the dream. So it may be that what you're going through now, whatever you're going through now, Kim, but on top of that, what you're probably going through related to the pandemic, maybe you may be feeling at some level it's not the same trauma, but it's potentially traumatic for me. And how did I handle that in the past, or how do I handle it now? And the dream is like you come at it from a different angle, and it may hurt, but you face those hurts. You handle them, you put your arm and you face them, but you come at it at a different angle and you really look inside there, and then you come up with a solution. So it's kind of like when we're in survival mode, which we are a bit at the moment, and looking for new ways through things, your dreaming mind is referencing a prior trauma. How did I get through that? Can I rely on similar things that help me to get through that? Or is there still some trauma there that I need to work through that will help me also get through that? So that's that kind of bit in the dream there.
Right. That makes sense.
But I want to jump back to the boots for the moment, because I love that you felt that two pairs of boots was too many.
Yeah.
So in your waking life, have you got any really colourful boots like that, or are these totally dream boots?
I do have a pair of rubber boots. They do not have that blue stripe in them, but that blue stripe has appeared in other dreams I have. I kind of recognize that stripe. but I know it's like, oh, that's that stripe that's in those boots. And I happen to really love wearing boots and walking in the water. I do actually really in real life love walking in like the ocean, or it started out as mud puddles, and I love walking in the ocean, or especially the ocean or lake or whatever, wearing boots. And it's so cold here that I can't swim very much. I can walk in the water in my boots.
So you wouldn't walk in bare feet because it's too cold. The boots keep your feet warm.
And I could. You could here in the summer, but the water's cold pretty much year-round, the ocean where I live. So anyway.
So you've already said that the blue stripe has appeared in other dreams. Have you already decided, worked out what that blue stripe means from the other dreams?
It usually has to do with perfectionism.
Right.
It's a certain color of blue, and I often will like just have a stripe of it. It's like, oh, there's that blue stripe. Oh, there's this again.
I love it. They're the older boots in the dream. So the older boots have a feeling of perfectionism around them, and they were around the soul, wasn't it? The whole soul was blue.
Right.
So it could also be a play on words, the soul and the S-O-U-L. This could be a sense of seeking. Spiritual perfectionism.
Yeah. And it actually was like a layer of blue versus, it's like, it looked like a stripe from the outside, but I knew that I was very aware that there was actually a whole layer of blue in the soul.
Right. So it's not just a little bit of perfectionism that you have had in the past, and maybe up to now, but you've got a whole layer of it. But
substantial layers.
Substantial layers. But in the dream, you realize you've got another option and another new pair, and you decide to take those. Leave the blue stripe behind. Yeah. Leave the perfectionism behind. But it had red laces that were inside. So you mean it was like you couldn't imagine, it looked like the water would get through where the laces are. Is that what you were saying?
They were down near the ankle. Here are these very high boots that, like, I think I could go in, like, up to my thighs, like, really high, like, wader high, really high boots. But there's, like, red laces on the inner, like, ankle of each boot. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, so it appears that you've got great protection, and it comes right up even higher than the old blue boots. This new thing looks like it will give you amazing protection, except you're a little bit worried that it won't, that no matter what kind of things you've built up, or it's so high and all this stuff is happening right down near the base, there might be water coming
in.
Yeah, it could be a leak.
It's going to leak.
I don't think it will, because in the dream you trust it and you go with them, but there's that sense of it. So for me, it's like you've perhaps recently thought to yourself, consciously or unconsciously, maybe if I come at life at a different angle, and I'm not I don't go for such a perfectionist angle, I come at it being a little bit less seeking of spiritual perfectionism, and I come at it from a different angle. If I do that, I want to really make sure I'm protected. So I'll have like the more wader type boots. I'll build up my protection, but I'm still worried that without that perfectionist thing, some water might come in down the bottom. So to me, it's like you're playing around with, if I let go of perfectionism, how do I protect myself in other ways? And will it really work? What does red mean to you?
I always feel like red is like, it's loud, it's life, it takes up space, it yells, you know?
It yells. I think you had somebody...
It yells.
Yeah. You were yelling in the dream. Like, you hollered to Peter. Oh, you packed. Yeah.
I did. My poor boy, Peter. Yeah.
So there's a sense in the new boots will represent, consciously or unconsciously, a new approach that you're thinking of taking. And it's a new approach that still allows you into the ocean, because, as you say, you love going into the ocean with boots on. So it's, how do I get what I want and have this lovely time at the ocean, but in a new way, not through being a perfectionist, but in a slightly new way, perhaps a bit more protection around me, and I'm still a bit worried. But, hey, I'm thinking of being just maybe a little bit louder, a little bit life, a little bit sort of... yeah, taking up a bit more space than I might normally take up. People might notice me. I might be more read.
Right.
And of course, anytime we seek, well, not anytime, that's not true. Often when we seek perfectionism, it's because it buys us time, doesn't it? I'm not letting this go ready out into the world yet because it's not quite ready. It's going to be perfect before it goes out, buying me time. But once you actually put something out there, it's like it's too late. Perfect or not, I'm there. I'm yelling. You can hear me. You can see me. I'm taking up space. Mm-hmm. I'm red. So there's some kind of sense there of if you pull back a little bit on perfectionism, there's that sense of will I still be protected or will I be more noticed? Will my voice be louder? Will people see me? And will that let in water? Will the red laces let in water? How do I feel about this? But also, Kim, as you say in the dream, you judge that because they're there, I think you said you would trust that.
And I think because they were new.
Mm.
But another thing is I think I made the decision I wanted to go in deeper.
Yes.
When I was at the ocean, I wanted to go in deeper than I could with the other boots.
Yes. Which is lovely because at the beginning of the dream, you were going to basically camp at the ocean. But then, as you say, you're actually preparing to go in deeper. So, you know, the ocean can also be because it's water and because it's so deep. Although the ocean changes its name all over the world, it's basically one big body of sea. It can also represent perhaps your unconscious or the collective unconscious. I want to go more deeply into my emotions and the world's emotions. I'm ready to go deeper. Just in the same way as with the roll top desk, you were at some level prepared to go a little bit more deeply into that old trauma.
Yeah,
ready to go in deeper. And when you do go in deeper, And when you do go in deeper,
I can see that,
there's also that sense of if you went, bearing in mind that everyone and everything in a dream represents something about the dreamer, even those big old forest trees being pulled up is sad though it was to see. Part of you is that, you know, that's part of you doing that. I am both the old trees. I'm pulling myself up by the roots and starting new. And I'm also the person doing that. I'm pulling up these trees. And wow, what I get when I see that is this whole new view of this amazing ocean. And guess what? I've got the boots that I can go in more deeply too. So there's a sense of almost uprooting, going down to some of your foundational roots, really, and ripping them up and seeing a whole new possible ways.
That sounds good.
Well, there's so much more, but there's that. And I just look down at my notes, which take 2.5 pages here, and I see at one point.
It's a long one.
It's all right. It's great. When you say that you decide on the new pair because you can walk more deeply into the water, and you decide to, rather than taking in the old broken in ones, you're going to go with something new. You then feel a sense of panic. But you decide to try to remain calm and steady. So there's that feeling there of, you know, no matter though I'm thinking of breaking out and being louder and being less perfectionist and finding new angles and new views, I'm acknowledging that this is a panicky thing to do. So I'm focusing on calm and steadiness, and this is going to take me to where I want to be. And that's where we get Decoy Dan. Decoy Don.
Yes.
Dan. Yes.
Don,
Decoy Don. So it could be in the name Decoy, as in, like I was suggesting earlier, you know, often perfectionism is a way of, it's a decoy. I can't let it out there because it's not good enough yet. It was a decoy from what's really happening. Yeah. So he could be there because of a play on his name, but he could be there for some other reason. You described him as patient and always adored you. Was there anything negative about it?
Well, the thing is that when I was dating him, because he felt like the kind of man that I was supposed to like.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually was trying to like him versus I did like him.
Yes.
And the reason he was called Decoy Don was because I was actually dating someone else that I actually really liked, but I wasn't supposed to be liking at the time. So there was a joke that he was like, I was dating him, and he was like a decoy. He was what I was supposed to be dating, but he made it look like I was dating him when I was really seeing someone that was much wilder and improper.
Oh,
so there's a reason.
That sounds, that, you know, at a bit of a stretch, that sounds like decoy Don being the blue boots and the wilder place that you really wanted to be being the red lace boots.
Yeah, there is probably that there. Yeah, I know. Anyway, I don't think he will ever listen to this podcast.
Don, hi.
I think I've changed his name even, just so you know, because I feel so protective of not saying anything bad about this person. Because they are a really good person.
Yes.
But they won't ever listen to this podcast, but I still feel a little like that. So anyway, okay.
Yeah. So that's what he may represent there, is that sense of, you know, part of you that thinks I should do this, and this is what I should be like, and this is what I should be doing, and this is the blue boot version. Yeah. And then there's this other part that is wilder and freer and knows what it really wants and is ready to go in deeper, ready to trust the red laces.
Yeah.
So let me just look at the dream up to now and see if there's anything there that there's lots we missed, but anything I wanted to say. I guess at the very beginning, you've already said that the group of friends that you're going to meet are the group that you meet every year. So I guess that covers that.
Yes, except that the slight difference is that my former husband and his wife were going to be there. And there's a family that there's a woman I work with who I just love and adore. But she's the best friend of my ex-husband's new wife. And there's always a tension, a feeling like I can't be her friend or have her as a friend the way I really want to have her, because she is the good friend of my ex-husband's new wife. And they are not normally at this group, but suddenly they are there in this dream.
In the dream.
I know they're going to be there. So there's that feeling of, oh, and they're going to be there too. But I don't know
how that fits.
Or,
is that relatively recent that your ex is married, has got the new wife, and you've realized that connection?
It's really old. it's a long time ago.
Oh.
But it still has a pain to it. You know, it was like my marriage ended with betrayal and pain. So, anyway,
so that betrayal and pain is another trauma that you went through.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. Yeah.
So for them to be mentioned at the beginning of a dream, you know, because the beginning of a dream often sets the situation or the theme that the rest of the dream is exploring and trying to resolve. So, you know, right up the front of the dream, you've got on one hand, these are the friends that I want to meet. This is something that I do every year. And for whatever's happening in my life now, and perhaps also from the pandemic, I'm not going to be able to do this. How do I resolve this? And thrown in there straight away is this tension that you've just mentioned, this reference to a past trauma as well, which is still in the present tense in the dream. So it's that sense of how do I, that in this pandemic, and I know I keep mentioning it, but I feel it's so strong for all of us that it's intermingling with everything at the moment. Yeah. Is that it's bringing up all, however handled past traumas. And this is one, it's not just the trauma, not only the trauma of the betrayal from your husband, but also the trauma of losing a potentially that deeper connection with your work colleague because of her relationship to his new wife. So, and there's a sense of deeper there too, like going into the water deeper. There's a place where you feel I have to withdraw. So the whole thing is about how do I deal with traumas, past, present, and potentially future. And you know, part of the solution right bang in the middle is that sense of the little sheep being the little children, you know, the children aspect of ourselves, the inner child. How would I care for the little Kim within me?
Mm-hmm.
How would I protect and guide her? That's the key to overcoming a lot of traumas. And particularly, like, how old were you around the time of the roll top desk incident?
I think that it happened overtime.
Mm.
I know that the only confirmation of it came when I was like, I guess, I don't know, like 8, 9 years old, somewhere in that time. So I don't.
So it may have been,
sure.
Yeah, going on for some time before that. So these little sheep in the dream may represent the, like, inner child of you, may go back from much younger than 8 or 9 when this thing may have been going on then too. So it's like whatever trauma you're going through to reference, how would I protect and look after the little girl that still lives on still lives within me.
Right, right.
Yeah, so frantically packing and trying to get to the camp, all of that is trying to basically, what do I do? What do I need? Not physically, but what do I need emotionally, mentally to deal with this trauma? And I'm so glad that you take the new boots. We get past the different angle, different ways of approaching things. We get through a bit of pain with a roll-top desk and find out, and you find a solution for it, which is basically... Yeah, your solution off the roll-top desk is basically, look, there's not so much in there as I thought there was. Yeah. So even though there was a lot, the trauma was truly enormous for you, it suggests that you've dealt with it a lot and there may be some residual feeling of there's more stuff that I should really need to go in and sort out. But the dream is like, well, actually, there's not. There's a bit in there, but not really that much.
Right. I was also thinking about the feeling that there's a lot of dirty laundry, but I don't have time to do it, and how that fits in there. So I was wondering if you had any thoughts on that.
I would say, based on what you said, that it's partly the actual dirty laundry from the incident when you were a child.
Yeah.
You know, particularly when the cliche that we were always told, you know, you don't hang out your dirty laundry for the neighbours to see, that kind of, don't air your...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what is it?
Right.
Don't air your dirty laundry? Yeah. So you're supposed to keep it quiet. So there's that. But I think also the fact that you don't have time to do it, it's not that you leave it, but you actually find a solution. I'm going to wear the ones that I've got, take one clean pair, and I will be fine. So it's like, I actually don't need to do this stuff. And then there is the feeling with the yellow bra that's out, that you want to bring that in before the gardener sees it. So there is a little bit there, like, don't look at my laundry. But it wasn't dirty, was it? Was it dirty, or was it just...
The yellow bra?
Mm.
No, but I just had a thought about yellow bras.
Mm-hmm.
I have another memory that just, like, kind of is coming up as we're speaking. You want to hear it?
Oh, absolutely. I'm on the edge of my chair. This is a good time.
Okay. When I was 8 or 9 years old, at that time when I guess I was starting to blossom, we'll just say, my mother went shopping and came home with a yellow bra for me. I guess I don't care if other people in the world hear this, so what? I don't have anything to say. She came home with a yellow bra for me. And I was so excited that I put it on. I went running into the garage to show my dad. And I thought that you don't run out into the garage and show your dad your new bra feeling. And it was in the garage. The garage door was open out into the neighborhood. But I was a child, and I just was so excited. Yellow bra that my mother had bought me. And I was just flashing, wait, I have a yellow bra memory, actually.
So. That is absolutely fantastic. And it's amazing how, you know, you think a memory like that would just come to the surface, but it's when you actually start exploring a dream and talking about your dream and going into it that you're actually in closest engagement with your unconscious mind that had the dream, and that's when it's easier often to find the symbols there too. So once again, you're spot on. It's taking you back to a happier version of when you were 8 and 9, till 9, when you just
did something
that you weren't supposed to do. But it wasn't dirty laundry, it was new laundry. It was new underwear.
I was excited.
Yeah, so you should have been. That's a wonderful, wonderful stage of life to go through. So there's a sense in the dream, I guess, that you, rather than worrying about airing your dirty laundry, that's it, rather than worrying about airing your dirty laundry, you then flip to the yellow bras. It's more like, no, I'm actually ready to show off what I've got now. I'm ready to, you know, or am I? And maybe I should bring that in from the boundary of my garden and bring it indoors, that yellow bra. But no, I want it out there. But yes, no, no, yes. What do I do? How much do I let go of airing my dirty laundry and not worry about it? How much do I put myself out there in that sense of share my feelings?
Right. And because that yellow bra was, I was a child, and I did actually felt the shutdown of, you're not supposed to do that for my mom. Mm-hmm. But in this dream, the bras were really like padded and big, much bigger than I truly am. They weren't. But they were like very female and like, you know, like female.
Sounds
mature.
Sounds like a variation on the Red Laces theme, like out there and loud.
Yeah, out there. Yeah, it is. Actually, I was just thinking, it's the outdoor, out there loud version of that little yellow bra I had as a child into this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And later on in the dream, you talk about the white turning gaudy and fufu and too fufu. So there's a sort of issue running through this dream of how much do I stay demure emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and how much do I go, look, I'm going to bear it all here. I'm really loud. Uh-huh. Where do I find the happy balance, the balance that's right for me?
How
much do I go out into the world? I just want to look at my notes here to see what else we put about the yellow bra. That yellow bra was out on the boundary of your property. So there's a sense there of maybe some boundary issues, or I'm thinking about extending my personal boundaries. And also maybe, although you felt put down by your mum, it's kind of like the yellow bra thing was a fun and exciting memory from those traumatic times.
Actually, I remember it just being really, I mostly remember it being a fun, and it was almost like the feeling of my mom was acknowledging that I was growing up.
Yes.
You know, and I don't know why I wanted to show it to my dad, but it was just so exciting.
Yes.
I wanted everybody to see it. Clearly a kid. But I was innocent. I was a child.
So yeah, there's something of that happening now, that question of, I'm really excited about something that is growing within me, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and I'm not sure how much to share it, but I am excited. Throughout all, of course, we have this amazing house. How early did the house come? Yeah, the big, this spaciousness, and it's modern. So again, there's a sense of I, Kim, am finding myself, I'm feeling more spacious. I'm feeling more modern. I'm feeling I've got more emotional, mental, spiritual space around me, and I'm exploring that and how to be in that. And then you discover that it's on a white foundation. White sand, yeah. Did you say white sand or sand?
Sand, like sand, which then puts a little, when I look back at it, I go, is that stable? That's not a very stable foundation. It's white sand.
And was it stable? I mean, when Decoy Don found a way up through it, was it stable?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, actually, it was when I came up the side of the foundation up onto the top, the parting of the clouds were there, and, you know, the sheep were on the beach, and Jesus was in the clouds, so...
And you know what I'm seeing there as you say that? You see, you know, I came up the side, and I'm thinking it's a bit like coming up the little red laces on the side of the bottom of the boots. And then you come up. And from the top of that, and those boots were waders. They had a much higher top. And from the top of that, you get the vision. So there's a sense so although you question, God, a house built on sand, how stable is that? It turns out, and you question the boots, you know, surely that'll let in water. both of them are actually totally structured to give you the higher view and give you something amazing.
Right.
You put the issue down to trust in the dream, trusting it would take you there. I'm just aware of our time, so I'm working out which is the next bit to look at. We have the documentary at the end there. And he had a horse-drawn cart. Was that true to life?
No. Okay. I have no idea where the horse-drawn cart came.
So what does a horse-drawn cart mean to you?
In the dream, I had a feeling of how fun it would be to go for a ride on a horse-drawn cart. And come to think about it, I actually have gone riding on a horse-drawn cart in my life. I don't know, 2 or 3 summers ago. Mm-hmm. Maybe I did come to think about it. With a bunch of Clydesdale horses, I went out on a friend of mine was training big old Clydesdale horses, and I got to go on a horse-drawn cart. I haven't, other like, a friend of mine also, which I haven't thought of before, that a friend of mine has a trauma at sixth grade of a girl getting tangled in the reins of her horse-drawn cart and dying. And I always associate that image with a friend of mine's trauma, not mine. But I don't know if it's, but in this dream, it was more that feeling of, maybe I could go in the horse-drawn cart, or wouldn't that be fun to be in the horse-drawn cart?
Wow. I'm thinking you're saying everything there is relevant, that you're saying the horse-drawn cart would be fun, just like the yellow bra, like that was fun. But then but then there's also the trauma. There's the underlying trauma of when you were 8 or 9, and there's the underlying traumatic image of the girl that was killed by the reins of the horse-drawn. So in each of those, it's almost like somehow emerging from a trauma freely with a sense of fun, something I can let go and come out of this.
Right.
And then the end of the documentary goes on about his mother being foo-foo and overdone, which we've already looked at. You know, it's that issue now between where do I, Kim, take a stance between being maybe extremely demure and perfectionist, and the opposite being over the top, foo-foo, gaudy. Where do I find the balance between the two in my sort of coming out post-trauma that I can use to find new angles and new ways of accessing current potential traumas and getting a bigger and better view?
Right.
And the key at the end, you did, even though you finished the dream going, I didn't get to the ocean, it's like, excuse me, you got to a better ocean.
Right. Yeah.
So what jumps out at you from all of this so far?
So what's jumping out at me is part of coming from a background of trauma is you live your life small and covering up and hiding who you are. So then when I want to come out, or when I'm trying to come out, it's a little scary. I don't know how big to be or what will show in me. But I don't know how I'll appear. I haven't practiced that part of me yet.
Any other ideas
about
the last couple of days and what might have triggered this dream?
Well, I did listen to that. I had a dinner party here where I had one of my son's girlfriend and my stepdaughter there, and I felt really I didn't know how to be authentic with them both there. That certainly happened too.
Yes,
there was definitely that feeling of having to be really held in because I was trying to balance the needs of two people that didn't know each other very well. Mm-hmm. And who knows what I projected onto both those lovely young women.
Yeah, I know. It's obvious. So that explains a lot about why the dream came up, exploring authenticity and the role that traumas past and present have have played in your hesitancy sometimes to really stand up in your own authenticity. What is one of the sort of abiding images of the dream that feels positive in our exploration of it?
Right. So you can do the dream alchemy.
Yeah.
Yay! I know. That's the part that I wanted. That's the part I wanted. Sorry. Sounding like a child.
That's great. I love you sounding like a child.
Well, I'd say the beach is a pretty positive image from it. The parting of the clouds and maybe those boots.
Absolutely. Nice boots too.
And so, I find myself wondering about those yellow bras laying around. I don't know, but I do find myself wondering about them because I kind of wanted them preserved somehow at the same time that I didn't want them seen. I didn't want them to be weathered and damaged outside either. So I don't.
Yeah,
I had some care about them.
Yeah, they were your new excitement about your growth, and you know, do I want to be seen or not in that area? So, and there may there may have been the padded thing there being a play on protection as well, as in padding around you. So the dream alchemy that I would suggest, whether you do it as a visualization or whether you do it in artwork. Or whatever format feels to you, would be to, and I'll describe it as a visualization, but you can do it in artwork later if you like. But you can visualize, actually, not instead of just looking at the beach from afar, from the top of the house, imagine being on that beach, that like the clouds part, you're on the beach, you're amongst the sheep, and you look down and you're wearing those red lace boots. but you notice that they are absolutely watertight. In fact, you take a few steps into the water and it feels absolutely wonderful, and there's no sensation of any water coming in, and it just feels so good. And you know, and you enjoy that sense of projecting the red and the slightly louder and the absorbing it all. That I would play with those images to create your dream alchemy. So what you're doing is you're reinforcing the idea that if you come at it from a different angle, if you come at old traumas and new traumas from a different angle, and you step out and you take those risks and you go for the new boots, you arrive thoroughly on the beach of the more spiritual, the higher view of the ocean, and you're there amongst the sheep, which is the younger part of yourself, which is actually totally protected. So whatever, in doing this dream alchemy, whatever you imagine might come to light into the public later will not, because you're on the sheep, on the beach with the protected sheep. You are protected. Your younger self is protected.
I like that.
Yeah, but you can still be authentic because you're wearing the new authentic boots.
Right.
We do have to begin to wrap because we've gone for longer than the time that we usually go for. and we have to be aware that these audio files aren't too long for uploading. So are there any other burning questions, or are you happy to do the alchemy? As in, I'll leave you with the alchemy.
I'm happy to do the alchemy, yeah.
Yes. So I'll leave you to do that because I know that you know how to handle that. So either a visualization along those ways or an art form, and really immerse yourself in those symbols. And then you're basically, in doing that, you're communicating with your unconscious mind that you're ready to step out in the red lace way, but feeling trusting and protected and looked after and coming at life from a different angle and actually ending up in an even better place.
That feels good.
Okay, if you do it as a visualization, work it out into a formula for yourself, and then do it 20 to 30 times a day for a couple of weeks. And if you go the art form route, just immerse yourself in a piece of art that brings all of that into life. And
okay.
Yeah, and let me know what happens.
Okay.
thank you for being
a
wonderful guest on the Dream Show, and for bringing such a beautiful dream for this particular time for us all that we can all learn from.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
I'm sure that you would have got plenty from that interpretation and exploration of Kim's life to apply to your, not only to understanding your own dreams, but perhaps help with going through the current crisis. You can not only listen to every episode that's ever been at janetheresa.com, or go and study online courses in your own time, at your own pace, at dream-academy-online.com. But you can also listen to the podcast on Apple, on Spotify, on Stitcher, on basically everywhere that you go to subscribe to podcasts. So if you're not subscribed on any of those, please do subscribe. Where you can rate, please rate, if you want to rate as highly, that is. And if you want to review, oh, please do, because the more reviews we get, the more people find out about the podcast. If you're searching for it, it's you get a better result if instead of searching for The Dream Show, you search for The Dream Show with Jane Teresa Anderson. It will come up very quickly. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. If you'd like to be a guest, go to janetheresa.com, go to podcasts or The Dream Show. I forget which it is in the menu. You'll find it easily. And in the drop down box under that, you'll find a link to how to be a guest on the show. The next episode, episode 231, will be going out on the 18th of June. And of course, I know that I'll be speaking to some of you between now and then, helping you with your dreams. Stay safe, stay well, enjoy your dreams, look to your dreams for solutions and avenues to find the positives in all of this, and I'll speak to you next episode. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.